Hey folks, it's Dana here. Make sure you go out and pick up a copy of my latest book, Grace Canceled, available at booksellers everywhere. You can also visit danaradio.com or danalash.com and make your purchase there. If you haven't tried Superbeet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
There is a professor from MIT, Dr. Fauci, who suggests that coronavirus can be carried on droplets a distance of 27 feet. Do you buy into that? And if that might be the case, does that suggest that current social distancing guidelines may need to be extended?
This could really be terribly misleading, John. What it was looking at the distance that droplets fly by speaking, by coughing, by sneezing. So if you go way back and go, achoo, and go like that, you might get 27 feet. But so when you see somebody do that, get out of the way.
There are some people.
But that's not practical.
I know people that.
That is not practical, John. I'm sorry, but I was disturbed by that report because that's misleading. That means that all of a sudden the 6-foot thing doesn't work. That is a very, very robust, vigorous achoo sneeze. That's what that is. And that's not what we're talking about.
Ooh, goodness. That's Dr. Fauci, who's saying, yeah, that was a very misleading report that you had. Wasn't so good. Hi, welcome to the show. We're the indoorsy types. Yay. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on the Twitters, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and all 3 hours live streamed, simulcast, on Channel 248 via Pluto TV. So, the latest, I want to update you with just the absolute latest. So, and then we got to get into some of the meat and potatoes because I am a little aggravated.
What?
Little bit.
Really?
I feel like all of a sudden everyone hates Dr. Birx.
Yeah, I'm getting that too.
We're going to talk about that because I don't understand what that's coming from. Now, some of what we know now, the government can move relatively quickly when it ignores its stupid regulations. At least that's what's being reported. So I wanted to immediately start off with this story that came out yesterday. And I think Axios was the original story. The FDA had authorized a 2-minute coronavirus test kit. And I was reading this and I'd put it in my rundown, but then I also this morning read this piece from Phil Klein, who was discussing this particular test. And he said the news was reported in a Reuters story that was reprinted by the New York Times and Axios and other outlets. And the Washington Examiner also reported on the supposed development. However, when I thought about writing about this breakthrough this morning, something struck me as odd, he said. So he dug into it. All of the stories eventually led back to a press release that was issued by a company calling itself BodySphere Inc. Now, I've never heard of that. He's never heard of it either. He writes in here, I've never heard of such a company. Have you guys ever heard of BodySphere?
Nope.
It sounds like a fitness ball.
Yeah.
BodySphere. It's a ball for your body, and it's spherical. Anyway, he writes, I've never heard of any such company, and all Google searches just referenced the story about the coronavirus test. I then checked the website of the company, and the only products listed were a COVID-19 test, medical masks, hand sanitizer, and all products that happen to be in high demand right now. The company's Twitter page had no tweets before Monday. So then I looked at the FDA webpage announcing the emergency use authorizations, and I did not find any reference to the supposed EUA for the BodySphere test. So I finally contacted the FDA to ask if any EUA for BodySphere had been issued and received an email back explaining no serology tests have received an authorization to test for coronavirus. And they went on to explain that the serological tests measure the amount of antibodies or proteins present in the blood when the body is responding to a specific infection. In other words, the test detects the body's immune response to infection rather than the virus causing the infection, which, sidebar, you would have to do that. Any kind of quick test like that, they're talking about testing people just generally to see if they have any of those RNA copies, but you can't do that unless you also do an antibodies test to see if they've actually been infected and like when they were infected, all this. So that you would have to do these two things, you know, simultaneously. So anyway, he says that you know, these are less complex molecular tests, blah, blah, blah. The FDA is not objecting to the distribution of serology tests. What he's saying is basically he called the company number at the bottom of the press release. No one's returned it, but he says it's a hoax. I agree. I think that the 2-minute test you guys have been reading about is BS, because it sounds like it was just put out by somebody who wanted to sell masks and hand sanitizer at an upcharge. So it's total BS. And it is flipping amazing to me that it took him at Washington Examiner, that all of these press entities rail against as being a right-wing website, which it's not. Clearly, they're the only ones that are actually researching this crap. But you had Axios, you had a million other outlets writing about this crap. New York flipping Times writing about this as though it was gospel. Because heaven forbid, people pick up a damn phone and make a phone call. We have some lazy ass journalists out there. We got some people out there who are like, I'm just going to write from the press release. As long as I don't have to email anyone or pick up a phone and call anyone and get any kind of comment, I'm okay. I don't know if these people are just that introverted, if they're incredibly anxious, or if they are too terrified to interview. I don't know what the deal is, but how in the world are you reporting on this when you don't even try to reach out and get any kind of statement or verification from the entity that is promoting it? What in the world? And you had everybody and their brother was sharing this on Facebook last night. I saw this everywhere. It was all over Twitter. It was everywhere. So that's the latest. And you read about that test last night too, I'm sure. Yeah. See, everybody's read it. You heard about it. And you thought, what'd you think? Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be able to be tested in like 2 minutes. It's fantastic.
I thought those drive-thrus would be going a lot quicker.
Yeah. Right. And then they reach out and they're like, oh no. FDA is like, we haven't even heard of this. We don't even know what this is. What is this? See, I tell you what, this is the stuff that aggravates me. All right, so that's the first and foremost thing I wanted to bring up to you, because it's important, and I don't want you to be misinformed. And you need to realize, again, this is one of the reasons why we criticize, why I have for a decade now, I've been so critical of the press because of stuff like this. I mean, if they do more, they move quicker and do more digging when it concerns Trump than they do on this kind of stuff. And this is the kind of stuff we need right now. All right, so next. Rick Scott wants to investigate whether or not the United States should continue funding the World Health Organization. We make up, actually, I think it was reported at 15% of the budget, but I actually think it's a little bit more than 15% of the budget. I think it's actually more towards 20. However, Rick Scott wants an investigation, which I completely think is apropos. He said in a statement, quote, they need to be held accountable for their role in promoting misinformation and helping communist China cover up a global pandemic. He added, we know communist China is lying about how many cases and deaths they have, what they knew and when they knew it, and the World Health Organization never bothered to investigate further. Yep, that is true. So, that story, keep that out there. Hold that, because we'll come back to it. I want to go to this one. This was reported by a couple of different outlets. U.S. spy agencies, the intel agencies, were warning Trump that China was lying about the coronavirus. Anytime I say China's lying, feel free to play our friend from Hong Kong, because it is completely acceptable. Those intel agencies say that China was lying.
Trump, don't trust China. China is ass.
Yeah, he is all of us right now. They said that, look, China's lying about the coronavirus. Well, we knew they were lying about their coronavirus. I mean, they were sitting here going, guys, it's so amazing. Guess what? we just like solved it. It's all the infections gone. No more corona. Bats are back in bats are back on the menus. All great. Oh, but we're not going to like open up any of our theaters. Actually, we're going to reclose them. all the theaters that were open, all 70,000 must close. Well, why is that? Are you having no big deal. Do not watch this delivery of like 20,000 urns. I mean, deliver to these mortuaries. Just don't. Oh, our media was super. I want to understand the thought process of people who hate the administration so bad that they're willing to mislead the American public. You realize that. You think you're hurting Trump, but you're actually screwing us. What is the thought process of these people? Oh my gosh. I mean, we know that, you know, you can't trust China because China is blanco. So, but I mean, this makes a great headline. There you go. A couple of things with this too. One of the reasons that I think it's incredibly important to bring this up. Did you guys hear? And this is why I think that they hate Dr. Birx so much. Did you hear her remarks yesterday at the presser? Did you guys hear her? Because it was I actually think that yesterday's press conference was fantastic. And for the most part, the questions were really good. Were you guys shocked? I hate being shocked because they were doing their jobs. You know what I mean? I hate that, but it is what it is. She was discussing why the reaction was the way it is, why you had this reaction with the CDC and everything else. She had said that the response, that the initial response to this was because they were missing a ton of data. You guys can play that or I can. That it is, yeah, that ultimately the reason why it was, well, and I have it here if it's this particular cut, which I need this cut. But she was saying that the medical community at large they were all really looking at the data coming from China. Listen.
Something different. You know, I think all of us, I mean, I was overseas when this happened in Africa. And I think when you looked at the China data originally and you said, oh, well, there's 80 million people or 20 million people in Wuhan and 80 million people in Hubei, and they come up with a number of 50,000, you start thinking of this more like SARS than you do this kind of global pandemic. I mean, I'll just be frank, that's when I looked at it, I was like, oh, well, this is not, you know, if as close as those quarters are, you know. So I think the medical community interpreted the Chinese data as that this was serious, but smaller than anyone expected, because I think probably we were missing significant amount of the data now that when we see what happened to Italy and we see what happened to Spain.
I told you guys this from the get-go. They withheld critical data. This is the first time someone with the government has actually fully, that not so much the administration, but a member of the medical community has stated it with the White House plaque behind her. That's huge. You all knew this and I told you this. Our media will not report it. Now you're going to start seeing me getting PO'd. This was specifically, the reaction was specifically based on what was reported. Specifically based. The World Health Organization, they have no influence over China. They were just begging, can you give us some data? They waited like something like 15, 16 days before they released any crucial data to the World Health Organization. That excluded China, by the way. I think Taiwan just locked down because they were like, hell, we don't know what's coming out of China. And the data that was missing, the actual numbers, number one, the genome sequencing, number two, any discussions about asymptomatic spread or observations, number three, and everyone's initial assumption on which all of the reaction was predicated upon was wrong, and China knew it. But China lies because?
Because
we needed to have this as a hotkey.
Don't trust China. China is ass.
That's right. We have a lot more on this coming up because the media is not reporting it. They're saying this is just Trump failing. He's failing behind me because apparently he also controls China. So we're going to talk about all of this here coming up. You don't want to miss it. And we got headlines coming up next as well. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
Mm-hmm. So apparently, no one is surprised at all. But liquor sales, everybody's getting their drink on. One way Americans are coping with the coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus, booze. U.S. sales of alcoholic beverages rose 55% in the week ending March 21st, according to Nielsen. Sidebar, I have waited too long to get in the moonshine business. I think that Dana's moonshine needs to be the next thing happening. I mean, who wouldn't love them some cinnamon? I'm not talking about like cheap Fireball. I'm talking about like nice cinnamon gourmet moonshine. Mm-hmm. Never thought you'd hear those two words together, did you? All right, but yeah, everybody's drinking. Not drinking, drinking. Big difference. Fewer people died from alcohol poisoning in Russia after drinkers ditch vodka for wine. Interesting. Over 600 people died from alcohol poisoning there in January alone. A 37% fall. That's what happens when you live in a communist country, by the way. A direct correlation between temperature increase and decline in drinking spirits. Interesting. I'm fascinated here. So, by the way, that story, the couple who chugged fish tank cleaner to ward off the Wuhan coronavirus, they're big old Democrats and they're morons. So, I mean, it's, you know, there you go. And last but not least, we got a mother went bright green because she used out-of-date fake tan. For everybody who's, you know, terrified to go outside of their house, she used out-of-date fake tan. Check them expiration dates. They count. Stick with us.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Is there any fairness to the criticism that you may have lulled Americans into a false sense of security when you were saying things like it's going to go away?
Well, it is.
And that sort of thing. But
Jim, it's going away.
But when you were saying
it's going to go away, hopefully at the end of the month, and if not, it hopefully will be soon after that.
But hasn't your thinking on this evolved? You're taking it more seriously now.
I think from the beginning, my attitude was that we have to give this country. I know how bad it was. All you have to do is look at what was going on in China. It was devastation. And well, yeah, you look at the numbers from China, those initial numbers coming out from China. But, you know, I read an article today which was very interesting. They say, we wish President Trump would give more bad news. Give bad news. I'm not about bad news. I want to give people hope. I want to give people a feeling that we all have a chance. I mean, when you saw the numbers, and when John and all of you saw those numbers, and you're saying 120,000 people, you mean that's good? 100,000 dead people within a short period of time. I want to give people a feeling of hope. I could be very negative.
And that's true. That's the president who was at the press conference yesterday, late afternoon. And he was talking there with Jim Acosta. And I actually thought the questions at the press conference last night or yesterday afternoon were actually pretty good. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. We're in it together, folks. We're halfway through this first week of the next month of continual lockdown, quarantine. It's true, though. And he, I mean, he had a, that was a good moment that he had, And I thought it was a very genuine discussion. Now, I'll say this. Mitch McConnell had a, let me pull this up. He had said this, he made this remark that he thinks that the, all of the focus and everything else on the impeachment actually ended up hurting the United States. Now, he had said this the other day where he was discussing, and the way that this was twisted is so insane and is, wait till we get into that. He said that the impeachment distracted the government from the coronavirus threat. Okay, that's what he said. And well, I'm gonna set it up here. He said that that it was distracted. The way that it was reported in the press is entirely opposite of what he said. The way that it's being reported in the press is that he said that Trump was distracted and failed at his job. Now, I want you to listen to his answer and you determine from what Mitch McConnell says in this, in his response here, whether or not you think that that's what he was saying. Listen.
He was first. And I think Tom was right on the mark. And it came up while we were, you know, tied down in the impeachment trial.
Talking about another
segment. And I think it diverted the attention of the government, because everything, every day was all about impeachment. But Tom figured this out early, and he was absolutely right.
So, and he's talking about a colleague of his. This is how the media reports it. I'm not even kidding you. Quote, Mitch McConnell admits that Trump mishandled the coronavirus.
What?
Legit. That's how it was on. That's how it was trending. This was essential. It was trending that McConnell made a stunning admission. He said that Trump botched the federal government's response to the coronavirus. This is an actual article. Can I read this to you? This is an actual article. I had to go and look up Joseph Girth, who is a crap writer. He tries to be snarky a la the early aughts Wonkette, but he doesn't realize that first off, it's so dating to what you're writing, number one. Number two, if you're going to be a snarky, you better be good at it, because it's such a tired way of writing. It's so tiring to read. Everyone tries to do it, and it has no place in simple journalism. It has no place in reporting the facts. And really, with editorialism, you just sound like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry who has a blog out there. Like, be better. Like, challenge yourself to at least be a better writer. I mean, I know that we are lacking toilet paper right now, but I honestly would not even use whatever this is printed on in my restroom for wiping with toilet paper. I wouldn't use it as a substitute for toilet paper. Anyway, aside, I didn't mean to go into that, but I did, because it's really, every time I look at it, it just reminds me how really poorly written it is. But that's the headline. Oh my gosh, Mitch McConnell admits Trump mishandled the coronavirus. This is the first, these are the first couple of graphs. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell made a stunning admission Tuesday when he went on radio and acknowledged that the president had botched the federal government's response to the coronavirus. Oh, he didn't come right out and say Trump has screwed this up. Oh, heavens no. He's much too wily for that. But here's what he said in explaining how Trump responded. And then he cuts off McConnell's quote. McConnell was talking to a colleague and was discussing how the government was so focused on impeachment. And he was discussing another Senate colleague when he said, well, it came up. He was mid-sentence, and he was saying, we were talking about it. It came up while we were. And he cuts off his quote and only gives a portion of it. And he said, but he includes, I think it diverted the attention of the government, because everything every day was all about impeachment. Now, everything before that was Mitch McConnell talking about how trying to keep the government's focus on the matters at hand instead of being caught up in the political storm of the impeachment. So, which, by the way, now we're even seeing that, I mean, I'm sure that you guys didn't see the headlines that gets into how now it's shown that the FISA thing was all a sham and everything about this was lied about. I mean, it's even more BS than the headlines are giving it credit for, but they're having to report that it's BS. We're going to talk about that coming up because it was not only was the impeachment, we knew the investigation was a sham, but this it was also. So, and this is how it's being presented in the press, which is disingenuous. It's not at all what was said. Mitch McConnell was discussing how the government, Congress, was entirely distracted by this. Democrats were solely, while the president was putting together the coronavirus task force, Democrats were prattling and bleeding on about impeachment. They started putting that task force together in December. And that's when Democrats were solely focused. They were solely focused still at that time on impeachment. While the president was putting together the task force, Nancy Pelosi was handing out the pens, the little special pens that she ordered so that everyone could have a pen when they did the impeachment vote in the House. That's what Democrats were doing. They were messing with pens while the administration was putting together the task force. When the administration announced that they were going to suspend flights to and from the hotspot area, they were called racist by Democrats who finally finished handing out their pens and decided that, oh, I guess we'll pay attention to this pandemic. McConnell's not wrong. He's absolutely right. And the impeachment was a distraction. Democrats did not focus at all on this virus. They focused specifically on the president. That's it. In fact, there was a great piece that was written over by at American Spectator. It said the real threat to our democracy during coronavirus is Pelosi and Schiff and company were too busy dragging the country through impeachment to pay attention to the developments in Asia. And that's true. That's true. 30 gold pins put they organized them like Instagram influencers on a silver tray. They took a little Insta photo. They took a little photo of them. Mm-hmm. And then
write one letter for every pen or something dumb like that.
Something like that. And then they had this big old display where they walked, waltzed through the halls of Congress with their tray of pens. Like making that's our thing. If it's not an Acme gavel signing the healthcare law, then it's. Yeah. Here in January, China had already closed off Wuhan. In January. They had already closed off Wuhan. And February 4th was when the president gave his State of the Union address. And that's when Nancy Pelosi was ripping up speeches. So, yeah, he's right. He's absolutely correct. Here's the other thing. I don't know. This was a great point that my friend Tucker Carlson had made in discussing the masks. And I keep seeing this kind of stuff brought up. Everybody's talking about the masks, right? I had to actually leave my house to visit the doctor like the first time in 3 weeks. Yeah, this is week four for us. We're starting. Actually, first time in like 2.5 weeks because I went out to get my glasses once. So I've been out twice. And man, I had the mask on. I have an N95 mask because I bought a couple months ago. And I had gloves already. I've had gloves since before we moved. And went into my doctor, everybody's wearing masks. And there have been these, and I saw one of the doctors that was on Fox, and I don't know, she seems quite nice, but I don't agree with her point. She was saying, she's the one who's always on there for everything, Dr. Nicole something. And she was saying, well, we don't really need to wear masks and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, actually, yes, we do. And the CDC is recommending that we do. The only reason that they're telling you that you don't need to wear masks is because they're terrified that you're going to go run out and buy up all of them so that there aren't any for health professionals. And instead of lying to everyone, I wish that people would just be honest about it because masks work. It is moronic to lie to the people and say that masks don't work. It is stupid. It is offensive. And it is a lie. The real reason that they're telling you this is because they don't want a run on them. But regardless, there's a run. It doesn't matter if you tell people or not. People are smart. They're not stupid. They're going to know, oh my gosh, why are we wearing, we need to wear masks. By the way, I'm going to pull this up. There was a study on the pandemic and the number of cases, and they were looking at like the mathematical modeling of this, etc., and how Cambridge did a whole thing on face masks to pre. They did a study. It was actually something that they began with H1N1, and they discovered this was back in 2009. Oh hell yes, the masks are super effective. There was mathematical modeling. I actually read the study. This was done on in 2009, and they were looking at the efficacy of face masks in reducing the spread of novel influenza, and this was H1N1. Oh, they're super, super helpful. Coughing, sneezing. They said that the use of face masks is a logical line of defense. Anything that is transported, water droplets. I mean, it's literally like reading the stuff with the coronavirus. They said, and I quote, the use of face masks is a logical line of defense. CDC said it. Cambridge said it. All these health entities from various different countries, I have links if you would like them, they all said that it was great. And then they're trying to, I think there's some in the federal government that are trying to tell, oh, no, 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 they're not helpful at all. We are not morons. Just be honest. Just be honest. You know, folks, really, we don't want you to run out and buy up all the masks so that the health professionals don't have them. Now, see, that makes sense. You don't have to lie to people, because then that makes us not trust you more. And we already have a problem with it. Some of us have like a massive problem with trusting government. So just saying. So no one is saying that people who are in the medical industry, who they're on the front line, should not have top priority. Right. I mean, they should not, they should be, no one's saying that they should not be the priority for this. But don't tell people that they're ineffective. Because you look ridiculous when you try to argue that. Especially now as the CDC is going, well, we're considering, they said this last night at the press conference, we're considering telling everyone that, yeah, everyone should probably go out with a mask. I'm telling you. I mean, it is... I have study after study after study after study here. And those N95 masks are number one. Those are the best option. And then the surgical masks are number two. I have both. So, and I wore mine when I went out and about, and I wore it properly. I mean, I did not touch my face. I did not move that mask. And I had two pair of gloves. Can we talk? I'll tell you about what my whole thing is. Would you like to know a germaphobe's reaction to, would you like to know how a germaphobe gets groceries inside? Would you like to know what a germaphobe does after they go outside and they come back in? Because shoes are not allowed past the threshold of my home. No, you wear those shoes outside, bring them in. I wipe them with Clorox. Not even kidding you. Like it, it's crazy. We'll get into all of that. Also, I want to, later on, I'm going to talk to you about parents. Use this opportunity for more free time for your kids. Stop beating yourself up because your kids are not occupied 8 hours a day. Stop it. We're going to talk about that, too. We'll get into all of it.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
DanaLash.com, my book, Grace Canceled, available. I was telling everybody that while we were on break, that so I had to go out. Like, I had just, you know, had to make a visit to my doctor, and I had to go out. And I had my gloves on and I had my mask, and I have like this whole routine, because when you're a germaphobe like me on a normal day, it's like level 110 now. And I even had like, I even like switched out my bags. I had a special quick like nylon pack that I just had snapped across my chest so I wouldn't have to touch it. Like, I was like ready to rock, you guys, and get out of my car. And I have like, you know, my one thumb so I can close my door and hit the car alarm. And I re-gloved, and I had a spare pair of gloves also, so that after I went through the doctor's office and I came back out, then I could, after I approached my car, I could safely remove my gloves, and you can take them off without touching anything. I put them into a spare bag that I already had ready as soon as I opened the door, and then I immediately accessed the second pair of gloves just in case, because my phone could have picked up some stuff. I had Clorox wipes in the car, so I was already gloved and wiping my phone down. I'm going to be made of Clorox after this. And then I changed my entire all my clothes, like down to my bra and everything, when I got back home. And they were laughing hysterically at me. And I'm I'm like, no, you don't understand. This makes me not crazy. Like, I don't, this virus could be like the goat of viruses. It could eat through cloth. I don't know what the hell it does. I don't know what, it could mutate. Who knows? Where'd you get that hole in your shirt? The coronavirus. I didn't change my top after I went and got my groceries curbside. I mean, hell, who knows? Who knows? And I also did not touch my mask. Because I have like the regular surgical ones, but I have one N95, one for me and one for my husband, Chris. And I'm like, preserve this mask at all costs. And I walked like a T-Rex and I sat in the chair like a T-Rex. I was like, I'm not touching anything. And I was never more aware of everything that I touched in my ever loving life. So, you know, maybe you can relax a little bit more than germaphobe Dana. We got a lot more to discuss, folks. Taiwan's donating masks. I like Taiwan. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms, they invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
I think these briefings could be, I think, better designed. The president could come out, say a few words in terms of what his administration is doing, not have these, you know, PR stunts like Mr. Pillow coming out and giving a plug for his company and that sort of thing.
Mr. Pillow? Jim Acosta. I mean, you know, he gets his friends out there to blah, 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 blah. Mr. Pillow out there to plug his company. No, he's like literally doing a he's giving you information about the masks that he is making, you ever-loving killjoy. Good heavens. Welcome to the show, folks. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on the Twitters, official Dana Lash on the Facebooks. Ooh, boy. So, I got we got a lot of kind of stuff to get into. The where do we want to start here? We were getting into talking about the efficacy of the face masks in our last hour. So Dr. Fauci says, okay, yeah, guess what, guys? You need to go ahead and expect a second outbreak, maybe perhaps this fall. They had yesterday on the show, and by the way, on our show, you can stream all 3 hours on Facebook, YouTube, and Channel 248 Pluto TV. Find me on Twitter at DLash. The charts that they had in the press conference yesterday, the president spoke, Dr. Birx spoke, Dr. Fauci, and they had a number of different prepared slides. And these slides were illustrating what happens when you just stay, if we had not tried to mitigate the fatalities, if we had just simply kept on going on with life as it was and did not do the social distancing, what would that spread look like and what would the fatalities look like? And we have, they talked about this. In fact, Andrew Cuomo said this, and I went and double checked it. When you look at our population, you can't compare our country to Italy and just on its face, or our country to South Korea, etc., because obviously we have a lot more people. You have to do the math on it. And once that's done, as Andrew Cuomo was saying, I mean, when you realistically, we have a lower mortality rate than it seems higher than other countries because we have a higher population. But when you offset that, we actually have a lower mortality rate than these other countries. Of course, you know, the press doesn't want to actually do the critical thinking with us. So, and he said that, it was Cuomo that said that this morning. And so at this press conference that was yesterday afternoon, you had doctors Birx and Fauci. They were discussing with these slides, this is what happens if we don't mitigate. This is what happens when we do mitigate. And I have to say that there was one media entity that took Trump standing in front of the panel that showed what would have happened. That's already changed if we had not practiced the social distancing. And it was this, you know, this progressive writer, verified blue check brigade, who said, oh, well, look at this slide. It shows him. It shows that he's standing in front of this slide and it lists his goals, 240,000 deaths. But like Trump made the slide. So they were trying to say that Trump standing in front of the slide that the CDC had prepared, that Birx and Fauci had prepared to illustrate to the press what it would have looked like had we not a week ago changed our behavior, what that spread and what the infection spread and what the fatality rate would have looked like had we not done that. And it got thousands of retweets. It took Trump standing in front of it as a way to say, oh, these were his goals. He wanted this many people dead. You cannot trust a damn thing. I can't trust them. I don't trust the media. I actually have to listen to the people talking, and then I employ my own critical thinking. But anyway, the point of their press conference was to say that the worst they had, they were, the worst case scenario was the first slide, and it showed a huge uptick, like a huge hill. And then they said where we are right now, they showed what their projections were for that slide. And this is where we are. This is, and it could be anywhere from between 100 to 2,000. And the president spoke on that. You heard us play that with his answer to Jim Acosta just last hour. And so the story with this is that there, it's all still projections. And when you looked at the chart, I don't know if you guys saw the second chart that they had, and I actually had texted this to, I texted this to my husband, and I was like, did you see this? This is, it showed that it's extending pretty far, I thought. I mean, I think honestly, we're still going to be dealing with this until June. Not at the rate which I think everybody's going to be at home, but I think that we're actually still going to be dealing with it at that time. I just don't see how we're not. So they showed the what it looked like at the point where we are currently at based on our behavior that they have prescribed. And it showed the we have about 14 days until the peak count of daily deaths. And they say that that's going to, that the way that they said it and the way that they had it on the chart is that that's going to come mid-April. And then it's going to start, we're going to start being on the other side of it towards the end of April going into May. That's when we'll start to be on the other side of it. We're not going to see a dramatic decrease until June. That's their projections. Now, again, I want to be careful because I know everyone rushes to, because the media, these are projections. Projections. This is not like certain in stone. It doesn't have it totally decreased to just a tail, a whisper, until July. Now, Fauci was saying that he thinks that this, and I'm going to put this in Slack so you guys can see it. He thinks that this is something where we could see a second wave, something like what we're seeing in some of these other countries right now, that we could see the second wave maybe perhaps in fall. And he was, you know, talking a little bit about that. And I mean, that's not, you know, I get that. And I think that that could very well be possible. But again, it's a day-by-day thing. Day-by-day thing with us. Audio, what is this? Audio 21, I believe, where, no, not 21. This is, what's audio soundbite is this where they're talking about the fatalities? I'm looking at my big, yeah. I just, and we played this last hour, but it's so incredibly important. And Birx is also discussing in this how their earlier modeling and their earlier reaction of the government was entirely based upon the data that was made available to them that actually had been, which we learned later, the majority of which was withheld and it was falsified. But listen to this because it touches on this as well.
You know, it will be difficult. I mean, no one is denying the fact that we are going through a very, very difficult time right now. I mean, we're seeing what's happening in New York. That is really, really tough. And if you extrapolate that to the nation, that will be really tough, but that's what it is, Jim, and we're going to have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, I think because the model, that model that was from IHME, that's based and heavily laden by the data that has come in from New York and New Jersey and Connecticut. So, you know, that can skew to a higher peak.
So they're discussing this, the curve, and how long we're actually going to be really ultimately dealing with this. You have to build up your testing. Well, we also have to test for antibodies as well. And that's, I have a headline later on down, where did I put this? In the show that Sweden is actually, their plan is to go for herd mentality protection. Interesting. Very interesting.
Herd immunity?
Yeah. They're the herd immunity for this. Okay, so I got a million other things I want to touch on here. NASCAR is stepping up to help out as well. They are a few things. Brooks Brothers is now making masks too. Brooks Brothers is going to be making masks, which I thought was pretty cool. NASCAR is producing face shields. They have five 3D printers at their research and technology center two delivered in February and installed less than 2 weeks ago. Usually they make composite parts for an updating stock cars, but now they're going to be doing face masks, which is really cool. And there's the other thing that, and also, by the way, one of the reasons why just Cyber Fauci believes that we might see a second wave in falls after all the travel restrictions are lifted, you're going to still have more cases. It's not going to be like it, you know, it is. And I don't think the wave will, the second wave would be as big, nor does he think that. But it's, you know, when you start easing back. The other thing to consider, too, the LA suicide hotline, they had 1,500 calls in March, 75 times the previous month. People have anxiety. They're terrified of getting the coronavirus. And then obviously with the current economic situation, you're going to see a lot of really, I think you're going to see a lot of this. I think you're going to see an increase in anxiety and depression. There has been an increase in child abuse. People are stressed out and everybody is. So we got to make sure, check in with, you know, the people around you and see if, you know, if how you can help and still be safe. You want to make sure that you do that. So two media things. CBS, they said that they had made an editing mistake. They were showing, they showed a misleading video of what they had said was an Italian hospital during a segment on the New York crisis. And it took place on CBS this morning, and they were talking about Andrew Cuomo's allegation that FEMA only gave the state 400 ventilators when they needed 30,000, even though they have a warehouse, as he finally admitted, where they're stockpiling ventilators, literally. And so the network aired footage of the story, went during the story of a crowded Italian hospital room that was reported by Sky News on March 22nd during a segment on hospitals in Italy. And so CBS, after it was pointed out by everybody on Twitter, said, oh, it was an editing mistake. We took immediate steps to remove it from all platforms and shows. That was a CBS statement to Daily Caller. They need to be really accurate with this stuff. I mean, you can even see it, too. And it says that the signs behind them are in Italian. But the network never said whether or not they would issue an on-air correction where everyone saw it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, and yesterday, CNN cut away when they were doing the press conference. CNN didn't start carrying it until Trump finished speaking. Mm-hmm. And now, looking at Congress, Democrats are reportedly exploring, Adam Schiff, a commission to scrutinize Trump's Wuhan coronavirus response, ladies and gentlemen. I love this headline. It's called Impeachment 2, Resistance Boogaloo. It's the pandemic boogaloo. So NBC first reported yesterday that preliminary talks have begun on Capitol Hill. They're trying to figure out some other damn way they can impeach him. They are looking, they want to do like a 9/11 commission, but a pandemic one. What? And they said that this is how it was discussed. Literally, this is the story. Informal discussions have begun on Capitol Hill about the possibility of creating a panel to scrutinize the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic that would be modeled on the commission that investigated the terror attacks of September 11, 2001, according to four people familiar with the discussions in the longest run-on sentence in this whole entire network's history. They described the discussions as, quote, very preliminary, end quote, and involved mostly congressional Democrats. Oh, mostly Democrats, you say? Mostly. So who are they? Name them. Or maybe, how about you guys not repeat the mistake that got y'all into this mess in the first place? Oh my gosh. Still, it's the resistance boogaloo. Good night. All right, we got more to come, including, we have headlines. They're trying to get a rage mob to go after Samaritan's purse because. And are you closing the parks? Apparently, that's actually a thing. You're closing parks? FFS. Really? We got to talk about this because I'm. And then we have your daily reminder that China is a. You know what? I'm telling you, never put it away, Kane. Why is this not a hockey? Steve, make it a hockey.
Don't trust China. China is ass.
Make it a hockey. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Right now, the American people are in the fight for their lives. And while some try to politicize the crisis, most stick together as one family. Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile was founded by freedom-loving Americans, and their U.S.-based team shares your values. Patriot Mobile provides you with an easy way to support the pro-life, Second Amendment, and religious freedom values you believe in with every call you make. Patriot Mobile is here to help you stay connected to loved ones during this difficult time of social distancing, with reduced pricing for a limited time, with plans starting as low as $25 and an unlimited plan at only $55 on all new lines of service. There has never been a better time to join the Patriot Mobile family. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for free activation plus a free gift. Keep your number and get the same nationwide service while supporting values you believe in. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Yep, yep, yep. Some headlines that you may need to know here. So first up, there's another, this is KSHB that reported this. It says that a county has issued non-compliance orders to Bass Pro Shops in Kansas City, Missouri. The Jackson County Health Department is threatening to bring in law enforcement if Bass Pro Shops in Independence, from reported out of Kansas City, don't close. A spokesperson said that the county had issued a letter of non-compliance to the store. Don't they sell firearms, though? You heard that. So, it's essential. Located in Independence on Monday. If the store remains open this week, the spokesperson said law enforcement would be notified. The closure would be in effect through at least April 24th, coinciding with the Metro stay-at-home order. Bass Pro said that they had formal communication, health officials in which to act upon. They're complying with all the laws. They only have 50 customers at a time in the stores. Employees had the option of staying home. Okay, so stop then. Chill the hell out. Quit going after them. Good night. Also, Florida cases surged to nearly 7,000. There's a lot of pressure on Governor Ron DeSantis to lock down the state. And so far, there's been a lot of criticism. He hasn't been willing to lock down the state entirely. Instead, letting local officials and mayors, because that is their job, figure out how they want to best do that. But ultimately, I don't know. I think he may end up doing it. Just because of the spring break situation, and apparently a lot of spring breakers brought back some reports that I'm seeing, they brought back the coronavirus to Texas. Ooh. And San Antonio, a local man's offering free plants to ease the stress of isolation, which is really cool. He is a local resident doing it. Stick with us, a lot more.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
We really have to hang in there and abide by the mitigation strategies. We do believe it's working. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. There's suffering and there's death and there's massive inconvenience economically and otherwise. But we're really a strong nation. We've been through some amazing things in our history. So let's all hang in there together. We will get over this and this will end.
Yep. There you go. That's Dr. Fauci. He is absolutely right about that. So, I don't want people to freak out. Even though it's going to be bumpy, and the president's being, he's trying to give people some optimism, but he's also being realistic. It's going to be bumpy. That's the nature of it. A quick update. Within the past hour, the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, has issued a statewide stay-at-home order. And so this is to go into effect midnight tonight. He said that in the statement that he made at the press briefing, he's going to be doing an executive order today directing all Floridians to limit movements, personal interactions outside of the home to only those necessary to obtain or provide essential services or conduct essential services. That it takes effect. It's going to at midnight, remains in place for 30 days. A quick note about that, too. I think that in Texas, we don't have, we have a stay-at-home order, in effect now, but before then, most everyone, I know a lot of people were already doing it. And I think there's a huge difference between, I think this is where the right and left difference comes in, because if it's just common sense. If you realize that minimizing exposure to yourself or others is going to be the thing to do it, do you really need the government to seriously tell you? I just do not. I think, honestly, it's just there's just the spiritual DNA. I do not understand the people who think that somehow because the government says it, it makes it more official. You should be doing it anyway. Do you have to be bossed around by the government? You have to be validated by government? Good night. That's terrifying. And these people actually think it. They look at it as a strength. Government is not a virtue. It's an evil necessity of everybody working with each other. That's how it was supposed to be. Anyway, because he was getting criticized quite a bit, and I like. Responsible for everyone's children. Did you guys know that? If you were a moron and let, and I'm going to be honest with you, if you were a moron and let your damn kid go out during a pandemic to spring break and then they get the Rona, it's not DeSantis's fault. You just suck as a parent. Are we going to be honest about this or not? Like, I told Mike, I'm like, my oldest son who's a freshman in college, I'm like, no, you're not going anywhere during a pandemic. It's not going to happen. I don't care who you know. And I mean, I'm not even talking about, and this was even like back in like February or very the first week of March. I'm talking like second, third week of March. And even, you know, even just like last week, there were people who were going on spring break. Who are those parents letting their kids go on spring break last week? There was one guy, I read this story about a dad whose son went on spring break. The dad's calling him. He lived in like New York. The dad's calling him. Sorry. I think it was like New Jersey. He lived in New Jersey. And the dad called him and his friends. They had gotten an Airbnb. And he's like, look, this pandemic, they're going to be locking stuff down. You need to get home. This was like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And the son said, yeah, we'll be home whenever. Well, he finally came home, not this past weekend, but the weekend before this last one. Dad wouldn't let him in the house. He's like, nope. Put some groceries in his trunk, gave him some money and said, hit the road. We're all quarantined in here. You ain't bringing that crud in. I do the same thing. Choices have consequences. It's the way it is. That's good. I mean, you should have a consequence with it. That's just the way it is. But we're going to talk more about this because I can see both sides, but the whole story makes me just mad. The whole discussion of can people assemble, can they not? We talked about it yesterday a little bit. Right now, they're trying to get a rage mob to go after a Samaritan's Purse. Because Samaritan's Purse, they have, you know, it's a Christian thing, Christian organization, and they made a makeshift hospital in Central Park, and everyone is losing their ever-loving mind about it, because guess what? They're Christians. Oh my goodness. And so this one dude who writes at some, now this news or whatever, which is not news, he said, oh my gosh, he says they're notoriously anti-LGBTQ. I mean, they're not anti-anything. They're just Christian. Are you going to say that about Muslims? They're notoriously anti-LGBTQ. It's weird how that never applies to anybody else except Christians. Is it because what is it? So they've never discriminated against patients, but that doesn't matter to the rage mob. The fact that they simply exist and have a different opinion. We're all in a damn pandemic and y'all are still practicing identity politics. That kind of stuff gets people killed. Stop it. I mean, so they're having a rage mob against a free charity hospital.
Yay.
I just don't. And they have like this mission statement and they're just mad about it. So I can't look. No one cares. No one's going to be denied help. So shut up. Shut up. No one cares. No one cares about it. This is the kind of stuff that aggravates me. Take your piddly, stupid identity politics somewhere else. We're in the middle of a pandemic. No one cares about your niche audience and your stupid niche website where you write absolutely insipid editorials that end in prepositions and just look like they were cobbled together by a toddler. Stop it. No one cares. These people make me want to take my book on grace and beat them with it. That's what it is. That's what y'all doing. That's what they're doing. Buy my book on grace, by the way. I mean, seriously, it's insane. I'm just like blows the mind here. All right, so this is the other thing that I don't exactly get. This came actually from KMOV. So Mike Parson, says that he expects the state, this is Missouri, expects the state's social distancing orders to be extended. And this was like before they were officially extended. So he had his daily briefing and he said that he's going to close state parks because there were large gatherings of people in the Missouri parks. So they closed all the parks except for some of the walking trails. You're going to close an outside park? People are shopping at Walmart. You're going to close a park? They're legit like going to Target and buying tampons and milk. You're going to shut the damn park? What is this? I don't get this. I don't get it.
He's doing stuff.
People, you can still go outside, but don't. You know how fun it is to run around your yard? Woo! They're shutting the parks down. You going to put those little sawhorses in front of them? Nope, sorry, guys. The park's closed. The moose out front should have told you. Is that what we're doing? Golly. I mean, this is stupid. Well, people are getting together in the parks. And as opposed to that, so you'd think that by closing the parks, which is literally where the only places that people can really go to get any outside exercise at this point, that's gonna help? How's that gonna work? I don't understand that. And how is that? It's not gonna stop people from gathering. If people want to be stupid and show Darwin awardism, they're gonna do it. I just thought, I read that and I just went, what in the world? Shutting down the parks. So he said, please stay home. You're gonna be lucky if you can keep people at home till the end of next month. Then it's gonna start, you're all gonna start having some trouble. People are gonna start getting cranky pants. So but closing the parks. I was talking to my husband the other day. And I said, you know, probably towards the end of this week, I may have to get, you know, what was it? I may have to pick up, not eggs, I may have to get some whole milk. Because if I do have any milk, which I really don't, every now and then I have a keto cereal and I'll put like literally, it's a cup of keto cereal and like a splash of whole milk in it. It's amazing. And like we might have to get some whole milk. And my son, this is at the dinner table, my oldest was like, oh my gosh, can I come with you? And this is a kid who's never... I think the reason, full honesty, that they hate the grocery store is because when they were younger, as a part of homeschooling, they were in charge of the grocery budget and they had to plan the budget and do the math for all the meals. And so as a result, they hate it. They do not like going to the store. And I'm like, great, I ruined my, but at least they know how to budget and they know how to do that. They hate going to the store, but at least they know how to do it. I mean, he was so excited. He looked up and he goes, can I go with you? And my youngest goes, are you just going for milk? And I'm like, I don't know if I can take buddies. I don't know if that's how that works. I mean, can you? I don't know. And the fact that I'm even thinking about it makes me mad because I'm so anti-authoritarian. So I think it and then I yell at myself mentally. I'll be like, can I even take a buddy? And then like the other part of my brain that's made of American flag and liberty screams at myself like, what do you mean? Can you take a buddy? You can do what you want. And that's... So I have that little person sitting on my shoulder. I have like the little cautious Dana over here. And then I have the little person who's basically Joe Exotic sitting on my shoulder. And I'm like, so it's like a field trip to get out. But then when my son saw when I came in from going to the doctor and I was like, stay away from me. I have to decontaminate. I literally yelled this in my house and I went through my whole thing. And my family was like, because Chris just takes off his shoes and washes his hands. Now he wears gloves, but he's like, I'm not wearing a face mask. I got a beard, you know? I mean, come on. I'm like, yeah, but you should wash it. So I told him he needs to wash his beard every time he comes if he has to go on an errand. Literally all it is picking up medicine. He did go to Home Depot, and that's when he did wear a mask because we had to get a new garbage disposal because ours cracked and we couldn't use the sink because it would leak all into the... So we're like, I'm like, I got to be able... So he did that. But he came in and I made him, we did the whole decontaminant thing. And my kids were like, this is insane. And I heard my son talking to one of his friends like, my mom makes us like Clorox shoes off. And he's like, I'm not leaving this house because like the process to just get back in it is ridiculous. And then he goes, do you make Kane and Rachel do this too? And I'm like, well, you know, they just, I'm like, they're not you. And he's like, no. Do they have to do this too? They have to wipe their shoes off the Clorox mat? I'm like, well, I wiped the floor off. Anyway, it was a big deal. Long story short, why the hell are you closing parks? See, this is where these people put us. I don't want to be mad at him for it. I'm not mad at him. I'm just like, the hell, right? Don't look at the trees. They're closed, kids. The sun is closed. No sunshine today, but I see. Nope, it's closed. Draws shades. It's closed. Yeah, I don't know. We need to also, if you go to danalash.com, I have a whole list of resources up there. If you are home with your children and you need help because they're schooling at home, I got you. I got you, fam. Go to that website. It's one of the top posts up there. It's a big giant bat that says, don't snack on me. It's the Gadsden bat. And it says, don't snack on me. And I got all kinds of stuff up there. I mean, I have.
Those damn wet markets.
It's everything from, I have all, there's academic resources. I also shared with you the logbook that I'm using for my son who's in high school. And I'm making him log everything. And it's real easy. It's like $3. Download it. It's not mine. It's off Etsy. Download it. And it's a great way to keep track of stuff. I make my kids fill it out. And if it's not filled out, I change the damn Wi-Fi password. I'm like, we ain't messing. So I have that out there for you. All kinds of entertainment, online games, every single kind of online fitness thing you can think of. Do you want to work out with Chris Hemsworth, who played Thor? Okay, well, I got a link up there to his free workouts. Go do it. Do you want to do Peloton's free stuff? I got a link up there. You want to do Gold Gym's free stuff? I got a link up there. Whatever it is you want to do. Do you want to do like goat yoga sans goats? I got a link up there. Find it. It's all up there. Go and look at it. You're welcome. Closing damn parks. All right, so we have a lot more stuff to get into. And I can't believe we got Florida Man already. What in the world? What in the world? I feel like we need more time together today. It's really hard, fam. No, it's actually, I'm pretty cool, except, you know, anxious after having gone outside. And I keep thinking, did I scrub my skin off enough? I don't know. I feel like that meme where the Terminator's robot skin melts off his arm and it's just the robot bone. Is that bone? No. Anyway. Exoskeleton, endoskeleton, I don't know what the hell the phrase is.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Thank heavens for Florida Man. So I was going to suggest the death penalty for this guy. A Florida man who stabbed a canine in the head has not survived. The canine has survived, but the man died in the hospital. Polk County deputies say that he died from cocaine intoxication. A Florida man facing multiple charges after reportedly stabbing a Polk County Sheriff's Office canine in the head following a failed burglary attempt did not make it out of the hospital. Cocaine intoxication is what the autopsy determined. Carl McCarr Jr., 31 years old, broke into a home in Lakeland by smashing the glass and using a tire lug wrench. Deputies arrived on the scene. They heard he was hiding in the master bedroom closet, would not come out. They tried to get him via canine. They sent canine Vice into the closet to detain him. Once Vice was in the closet, McCarr stabbed him in the head with a kitchen knife. And the deputy, they wrestled, but... And I was going to suggest to kill the guy. I'm like, death penalty. I don't care. No. You're going to act like that, snuff you out. I don't want you walking on the face of the earth anymore. I have zero. Quit indulging this criminal behavior with your stupid virtue signaling like, oh my goodness, but that poor criminal. Mm-mm. You people, that kind of attitude and the people who have it perpetuated and endanger and cost lives. And for doing this to this dog, dog, doing it to dogs, doing it to people, nope, done. All right, so moving on. I will fight anybody on that. Like, I will literally throw punches. All right, moving on. A Florida man who raised funds for a border wall is now selling face masks. What? This is a guy, he said he had access to N95 masks. This guy from Florida man, who convinced Americans to donate millions of dollars for the privately built wall on the border. And a lot of people did it. But now he wants to sell face masks that are in short supply. He says he charges $4 each, several times the pre-pandemic prices. Okay, yeah, I'm done with that. Mm-mm. Done with that. Stop it. Really? You're going to need to enrich yourself off that? Unless there's something I'm missing, which I seriously doubt. All right. Florida man blows his hand off after lighting a firework in his truck. Yeah. Why would you light it in your truck? 27-year-old Florida man partially severed his hand. So, thankfully, he was able to receive treatment, but good night. We got a lot more coming up, folks. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
We have this bill that we just passed last week, $2.2 trillion worth. We have to focus on keeping people employed. I will tell you this, if we don't start to get people back to work in this country over the next week to 2 weeks, I don't believe we can wait until the end of April. I just don't know of any economy that's ever survived where you unplug the entire economy and expect things to go back and be normal.
It's true. I mean, he is correct there with that. That is Devin Nunez, who says, you can't keep the economy unplugged that long. Welcome back to the show. My name is Dana Lash, obviously, danalash.com. My book, Grace Canceled, go out and get it if you have not yet. It's a good time to read it. And you can find me Facebook, Official Dana Lash, YouTube, all 3 hours simulcast there as well. And I shared a piece on my Twitter timeline. I am so glad that so many in media, including some people on Fox, they're finally now talking about what I've been discussing here for a month. And they're also discussing what I've written about for a month. I shared one of the pieces of many that I've written that gets into how I tweeted, glad some in media are waking up to the fact that communist China lied about every aspect of the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic. And they did. Lied about every singular aspect. Every aspect. And I mean, absolutely everything. I keep seeing this tweet from the World Health Organization, too. They had this back on January 14th because they were running defense for China. They said preliminary investigations conducted by Chinese authorities found no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission. No one trusts you. No one trusts you. It is a skin tag of the UN. That is what the World Health Organization is. And you lied. It is. It's the best way to describe it. It's the best way to describe it. In fact, I think I'm going to tweet that. But I'm just so glad to see that so many other people now are finally paying attention to what you all know and what we know. And we've been talking about for a month. Welcome. Glad you were able to finally catch up. This is why we're top, by the way. It just enrages me because there's so many people in media that carried water for communist China, misinforming people. And now you have some of these progressive outlets that are out there. They did lie about this. Of course they did. And everyone knew it. But now it's to the point where you can't ignore it anymore. So now you have to reluctantly come to it. And they barely report on it right now as is. And so because of all of this, people are locked down because of all of this. The malicious politicization of a pandemic by a crap bum communist regime. I'm telling you what, a country run by a leader who got offended because Hong Kong protesters compared him to Winnie the Pooh. He's a weak man. He's a POS. I literally have nothing. I realize that the administration, they have to be diplomatic. This is why I can never run for office, because I would only agree to meet with someone to give them the finger. I'm not your person for office. So, and danalash.com, by the way, and I have that up on, it's on Facebook and it's on Twitter right now. So you should definitely go and check it out. And one other quick thing. Taiwan is donating 10 million masks to Europe and the United States. It states it's three times as much as what China promised to the EU. And I tweeted about it. I said, yeah, and unlike communist China's face save, these will work. These face masks will work. I don't mind if, I'm really focused on everything American made right now. And I think that's how we should be. I want all our supply chain back. I told you I was looking for a marble rolling pin for my pastry dough for like ever. I need the weight and I need the cold. You can't find anything that's American made. So I guess I'm not meant to have one. If it's not American made, I guess I'm not meant to have it. It's just the way it is. All right. So That just made me mad. I saw some of those tweets, and I see some of these progressive outlets that are finally now coming around to it, and it just infuriates me. It's ridiculous. So I want to get into, so Hobby Lobby quietly reopened stores in last two states. Business Insider was discussing how, because people, I guess they want to do hobbies. And as long as stores are in, if they're doing the social distancing and all of that, I don't have a problem with it. Look, I understand. I realize that we got to have, and not everybody's going to agree, and that's fine. I'm big enough and open-minded enough, and I'm not that much of a wussy to get butthurt if you disagree with me on it. But what I can't handle is people who are like, oh, you disagree. I just can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But I get it that you want people to be safe. I understand this. I get it. I have a friend right now that a very dear friend that is dealing with a death in her family because of the coronavirus. And she might now have it, and they're just trying to deal, and their family can't be there for each other because everybody's quarantined. So problems could be a hell of a lot worse than somebody not being able to go to Hobby Lobby. I understand it. But at the same time, I don't think that people, other people like me, I get it because I hear from you and I talk to you guys and I can't respond to everything, but I try to as much as possible. And I know that you guys are stressed. I get it. I mean, we all get stressed. It's just the nature of it. This is a disruption of our routine. And as much as I joke about hating people, I mean, we are really social creatures. We are. As much as I hate it, and here's my goth Ally Sheedy side coming out, I get it. We're social creatures, and we like our routines. We like to do our thing. You know, I understand that. So it's stressful for everyone. It's hard for full-time working families who have now their kids home, and they're trying to make sure their kids are educated while they're also working. And then we have families where, you know, they're not as fortunate as some of us that have both that have all the parents home and all the kids home. Sometimes mom or dad, if they're in healthcare, I have a cousin who is a healthcare worker, and she has to get on her scrubs, put on her face mask, and she's dealing with people who are infected every single day. I understand it. And she has two little girls to go home to, one of whom is not even a year old yet. I understand it. Not everyone is as, when you think about how much cabin fever you have and you and your spouse are home together, count your blessings, because some families are not so lucky. Some families, they're out there, they're delivering packages and making sure that some of us get necessary things that we need. They're helping the elderly, they're home care workers, they're doctors, they're collecting your garbage and going around and doing that without hazard pay or anything else. So count your blessings. And with that, I understand that people are worried. I understand that it is seen by others as callous and ridiculous if someone wants to go to church, if someone wants to go to Hobby Lobby, if someone wants to go somewhere. And on that same note, there are people who are just extroverts, and it is stressful for them to suddenly not have anyone to talk to. No routine. No, please do not underestimate the mental weight of that. That is also serious. We're going to have serious problems with anxiety and depression in this country as a result of all of this. It's just a natural. So cut each other some slack and give each other some grace about it. Now, with the Hobby Lobby stuff, I don't care what a business does. If you're keeping people apart and you're, you know, and I think that you should do that just as a business that cares about its customers. Do you want to have a customer base? Okay, then don't let all your customers get infected. Otherwise, nobody's going to go into your damn store. Simple, right? It's simple thinking. So I get it that these employees too, they don't want to, I think that if you're a business and you're going to stay open, you're a non-essential business and you're going to stay open, I think as a courtesy, and especially if you're a Christian-based business, you need to put your beliefs in work, because faith without action is worthless. And you need to give your employees the option of not coming in. Because I'm sure some of them don't want to risk their families, especially if they are immune compromised because somebody wanted to go in and get some crafts. So, I mean, I can see both sides of it. Just have some grace for each other. You don't need the government to swoop in and make every decision for your life if you just are considerate to other people. But see, everyone's a jackass. No one wants to do that. Everyone wants to, I can't go and get my stuff. I can't go to Target and do my regular, you know, I'm going to go into the aisle and purchase crap I don't need and come out $300 poorer. I actually am frustrated about this. because I see people arguing about it. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody, but I get it. I talk to all of you. I have seen every aspect of this, every single aspect of it. And it doesn't help when you can't trust your media and you are really looking to get information that you trust. So, and I understand that. And we're going to talk about this. Actually, we'll start it now. We can talk about it more. This whole thing about freedom of religion. I gave you the story the other day of a pastor who was arrested for holding a church service in Florida. And then there was another pastor, Tony Spell, who's facing 6 misdemeanor counts of disobeying the powers of the governor because they're having church services. This is in Louisiana. And they said the church in Florida was doing the same thing, doing the social distancing. They even had like another entity that was there and making sure that they were following all the necessary requirements. And Spell's church is not a mega church. The one in Tampa was a mega church. Spell's church, Washington Examiner wrote about it, and they said they just had about 300 in attendance. So he faces a $500 fine and up to 6 months in prison. And you have that headline, the one in Tampa, Rhode Island. Pull this up with New York Post. Rhode Island is now going door to door, and they're checking New Yorkers who are fleeing the coronavirus, Wuhan coronavirus. So there are National Guards going door to door to ask and tell people you got to self-quarantine. I get angriest at the people whose thoughtless actions and lack of regard for their fellow man invite the government to come in and do this. Are we going to be honest and we going to be responsible people or what? I mean, do we want to have these honest conversations? I'm not going to blow smoke up your butt for ratings. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to kiss anybody's butt. And I'm not going to sit out here and say only a certain line of things because I want the Fox clicks or I want this or that. I'm going to tell you how it is. You can count on that. I'm going to be honest and I'm always cool. But I look at this, I'm like, the reason they're going door to door is because you got some jack wagons who are coming in. They're leaving a literal hotspot. And they're going to somebody else's neighborhood. They may be exposing them to stuff. You remember the caller that we had? Oh my gosh, by the way, sidebar. After we had the one gentleman who called in from Florida Friday, and tomorrow I'm going to open up phone lines. We're going to have 2 days of open lines. We're going to have phone lines open all Thursday and Friday. The gentleman who called in last Friday, who lives in a resort town, one of the vacation spots in Florida, he's a townie. He said, remember he called in? He's like, we got 2 grocery stores here. I went into the parking lot, 11 cars had New York plates. And he's like, we don't have a lot of resources. And a lot of these, you got to think, a lot of these hospitals in some of these places, what they got, they're tiny little resort hospitals that maybe have, 5-10 beds, if that? So I understand their concern. It's just, you're being a jackwagon. Don't be a jackwagon. Just be courteous to other people. If everyone was courteous to other people, we wouldn't need the government to be, barging in and bossing people around. So here's the difficult conversation that we're going to have after headlines. I think that and it's not just Christian churches. This is why I don't believe that it's an issue of religion, because this is being applied to synagogues. And I would imagine not just, Christians and people who are Jewish, but I would also imagine Muslims and everyone else. Because there in New York, there was one Orthodox Jewish former, I'm trying to say two words together, Orthodox Jewish former assemblyman, who slammed the synagogues in the city because apparently his is closing and they're doing things remotely. But not all of them are closed. And he went off on the ones that are not closing. I don't think it's an issue of religion. I think it's an issue of assembly. And we're going to have this uncomfortable conversation as to, is it a good way to steward to your fellow man by still doing this? We're going to have that conversation. Going to have it. So you don't want to miss it. We have headlines also coming up.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, so a few things here. I needed to get, we're running out of so much time. This story comes by way of WIVB. Level 3 sex offenders among inmates released from Monroe County Jail This comes out of Greece, New York, WROC. 8 registered sex offenders were released from the Monroe County Jail as part of a statewide order coming from the Department of Corrections and Community Services. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office said more than 50 prisoners were released. 9 of them are now staying at a Holiday Inn Express in Greece, New York. Among the inmates, 4 registered sex offenders, 3 level 3 sex offenders, and the level 3 are deemed by New York courts as most likely to reoffend. And so I'm looking at it like, go ahead and stay in the jail, and if you get the Rona, you get the Rona, because you decided to diddle kids, and that is your consequence. And especially if you've been determined to reoffend, get out, get back in there. Nope, you were playing Russian roulette with your health when you did this. So stop. Oh my gosh! All right, moving on down the line here. An astrophysicist got magnets stuck up his nose while reinventing a coronavirus device. Australian Dr. Daniel Reardon ended up in the hospital. He put magnets in his nose while building a necklace that warns when you touch your face. And the magnets were a part of it. There was an earthquake last night just north of Boise, Idaho. 6.5 magnitude. It felt in Yellowstone. Goodness. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Steve has been dying to play some Milli Vanilli ever since. Keep it going. Don't be turning down this late 80s, early 90s jam. 90s. Because Kane did not know that Joe Exotic did not sing his own songs. You actually thought he did.
Yeah, I thought he may have been recorded them in the studio. I know that the videos that they played on the show were like completely lip synced.
I got to pause you.
What?
Like anybody who does the video doesn't record first their stuff and they just play the recorded track, the mixed track.
Well,
from the
sure,
studio.
But I mean, at least it looks better and it was produced a little bit better. Like that stuff wasn't produced well at all.
Okay, well, it's like if Siegfried and Roy and Dog the Bounty Hunter and
oh man
all got together and that's Joe Exotic,
right?
I'm just saying, of course he didn't. He was literally in a sequined tiger patterned shirt with a mullet and an eyebrow ring hanging on for dear life.
The cowboy hat.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I wasn't aware of the Milli Vanilli situation. I didn't know that he wasn't the voice on that. Like, you know how magic is made.
He sold his CDs in the store.
You know how they polish turds in the studio sometimes?
I know.
I thought that may have been the case.
I just can't believe that band actually did it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I just can't. I can't believe that the band actually did it. Okay, so let's get back to serious business here. Serious business for serious people. Okay. By the way, I was up to like... I'm not even going to tell you. I was up to like 3-something this morning. I couldn't sleep at all. I went to sleep and then I woke up and I was like, I can't go back to sleep. So I'm like, let me go look at some memes. By the way, I have to say, sidebar, the Reddit community. They saw that their time to serve had come. And so they stepped up to that obligation and fulfilled their duty with a never-ending supply of memes. Thank you for serving. Oh man. Anyway, some of it was from Reddit. I'll never tell you my name. And some of it was from elsewhere. But I started and I waited until this morning. Like I held off as long as I could. I didn't want people to think that this was like the first thing on my mind or that I was up till that long doing it. You know how it is. You can't sleep. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. And man, we got a lot. We have the media who doesn't want to air the coronavirus task force stuff. They don't want to air it. They say that Trump doesn't take this seriously, but yet when he took it seriously, they yelled at him for taking it too seriously, and it was just everybody's just. And then you had Dr. Birx. Now she's getting slammed because I don't know. I guess she's outlived for the left her usefulness for them, and she was even telling people that. The reason that she had said, look, this response was set back because China wouldn't release any data. And everyone gets mad at Trump because of China, because apparently he controls it. The by the way, the head of the French health authority gave the daily update on the coronavirus figures. In France, they have 24,639 people in the hospital. 6,017 patients are in intensive care. And of those in intensive care, 34% or less than 60 years, 60% between 60 to 80, and 80 patients less than 30 years. So they're getting hit hard as well. So there we have it. We were talking about the issue of assembly, freedom of assembly, and freedom, I mean, ultimately, freedom of religion. And I know a lot of people have been talking about some of these pastors that were getting arrested for violating a home order. The one in Florida, and I talked about that yesterday, because it bothered me that they said that it was unlawful assembly. And I don't think that is a phrase that exists. Now, I realize there are certain authorities that certain states have during a time of like a pandemic or if you're quarantining. However, I do think that a lot of this goes past the line. Some of it goes right up to it. Some of it goes past it. It's just, it all depends. And you have to balance civil liberty and saving lives. And it is not an easy balance. And all of the people who don't have to make the difficult decisions are the ones who scream the loudest at the people who are making the difficult decisions. True. Again, nobody has grace. I wanted to read this story. An Orthodox former assemblyman, a Jewish man, this is Washington Examiner, went off. And he was quite upset because he said there's a lot of synagogues that he said you're just going to murder people. I mean, he didn't mince words about it. Kerry Pickett has this story that he slams the synagogues that refuse to close. Dove Hicken, a former New York Democratic Assemblyman, he was criticizing fellow Orthodox Jewish New York City residents who ignored the social distancing regulations. And he's been a very outspoken Democrat member of the state assembly for 36 years. And he said, if you congregate, there's a funeral, there's hundreds of people. If there's a wedding, people show up. And I understand what he's saying as well. He was saying that he's like, we have across the board support for this in the Jewish community. He goes, it's true of other faiths as well. He says, you have to pay attention to the social distancing guidance. Now, I get it if you're, and this is why I think, I can argue both ways on this, because we, as people of faith too, you have to, no matter what your faith is, you have to balance this out, right? How are you best serving your flock and your fellow man? And how are you, because that can be a question of not just serving them for their health, but also spiritually. How are you best doing that? And I look at the discussions on it, and a lot of people are saying, well, this is a violation of freedom of religion. The one in Florida, they were practicing apparently the social distancing, and they had like a third party entity there to make sure that they were. Now, the 6 feet, you know, et cetera, I don't, and Dr. Fauci was talking about this when he gave an interview. He was like, look, unless you're coughing, like, you're not going to shoot this thing at, like, you know, 27 feet. This is not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. But I thought that there was a very, the other churches that I've seen, because the other pastor who was arrested in Louisiana, his church isn't a mega church, and there isn't any reporting as to whether or not he was incorporating the social distancing and all that stuff, at least from what I hear. And they said that they passed out handkerchiefs to people who may have a fear, and he said, we passed out anointed handkerchiefs and all this stuff. Like I said, I don't think that this is the people cracking down. It's not an issue of religion. And I want Christians to be very, very careful with that argument. Because if you are saying that you're, and you can assemble however you want, but I hope you realize too that the religion isn't a building, and it's not how many people you can fit in it. And the religion isn't also, it's not a building, how many people you can fit in. It's not your church. The church is you. The church is the people. I read something by a friend of mine on Facebook to this effect that was discussing some of the biblical history of this. And it was quite good. And I think that some people kind of need to go and spend maybe perhaps a little bit more time in scripture. Some of these people who are insisting that it is a freedom of religion thing, because it is a freedom. I'm going to pull this thing up for you. It froze momentarily. It is a freedom of assembly issue. It is not a it's not a freedom of religion, because they're going after synagogues. They're going after and not just synagogues or churches. They're saying weddings, funerals, any kind of gathering, birthday parties, all of this kind of stuff. So that's an assembly issue. It isn't, it's not an issue of, okay, well, this is, we're specifically going after some Christians. That's not what this is. I don't think that that's what this is. I think that, however, as shepherds, you have to not just look at what's good for someone physically health-wise, that you also need to look at their spiritual health and their physical health. And I think that some of the way that some of these people are handling it, I just don't think is maybe necessarily the best way to handle it. My friend had noted all the different instances in which, not just in Old Testament and New Testament, how it's not so much an issue of where you are worshiping and how you're coming together, but that you are worshiping, and that when you can come together, you're coming together. I mean, clearly, you know, we're in a pandemic right now. There is something bad about prioritizing tradition above everything else, at the expense of spiritual health, even. And some of these pastors I don't want to go too into the weeds with it, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I think maybe we need a Bible thump just a little bit with this. For instance, one of the things that, and my friend made a really good point about this when he was talking about, you know, the book of Acts and how Jesus would all the time correct the disciples about they couldn't remove their gaze from everything that was earth-based. And when he was talking about, you know, this is where your kingdom is going to be, and, you know, God's promise to David that his descendants are going to sit on the throne forever, and it was fulfilled through Christ, and it was, you know, it's different than the earth-based perspective that the disciples had. And I just, to apply that to this situation, I don't believe that anyone is trying to ban people of faith from getting together. I think that they're trying to act in whatever way they feel is necessary to save lives. And I think also that if you are one of those religious houses and you are not observing the social distancing, and you're creating a problem about it that isn't, that your response isn't a way to invite people to understand your faith, because you are doing such an amazing job at witnessing it, especially if you're a shepherd, you need to rethink your approach. A friend of mine had said, the law of love trumps all other laws. Loving God and loving your neighbor. And church is the worst vector for transmission, because everybody hugs and shakes hands and all of this stuff. And you got to think of it in that way as well. And I know a lot of conservative Christians out there they look at the data and they think, okay, well, you know, my church, for instance, voluntarily decided to do this. We decided to have the digital services. And I've seen some people say, well, you know, here we are, we're running church out of everything. You are missing the point. You're missing the point. We're not running church out of everything. You're being tested here. If you want to look at it that way, my response is, then look at it like you're being tested. Are you only a Christian when you step up in your church? Are you only a Christian? Do you define yourself as a Christian by how many times you go to church? Or do you define yourself as a Christian by how well you disciple outside of it also? And that is the big point here. Are you doing everything you can to be a good steward to your community? Is being a good steward to your community, are you somehow minimizing your faith because you're trying to blow up a big freedom? It's not a freedom of religion. I am more limited government than anybody out there who's going to disagree with me. I will fight you on that too. This is more of an assembly issue than it is a religion issue. And in a time of pandemic, I want to go back to the point that I made. Do you literally have to have the government come and tell you no, no? Or do you have the common sense and compassion for your fellow man to want to do it yourself so that you edge the government out of expanding their powers to come into it? I think a lot of people are hiding too, they're hiding too much behind the church building as a way to explain their lack of discipleship in their life when they walk out of those doors on Sunday. I think that people are being, Christians especially, if you want to look at it through this perspective, you're being challenged. Are you regularly worshiping in your home now? Are you reaching out to the elderly? How many people are you reaching out to? All the people out there who are saying that it was an issue of freedom of religion, are you reaching out to people in your community? Are you being like the second century Christians and showing up when everyone else left? Because then I could use your argument against you. How far do you want to take it? And how consistent do you want to be? Do not be tempted to let the building stand as just an empty shell, an avatar of faith. And you're not practicing this anywhere else. I told you this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation, and it's a difficult one to have. But I've seen this so often, and I see people I know that are fighting about this. This, do you want my opinion on it? That's my opinion on it. I don't like the government coming in and doing anything. But at the same time, I also think that people who are leaders in their community and shepherds of the flock, they need to bear in mind certain considerations. If you're doing social distancing and all of that, I don't like the government coming in and telling anybody to do anything. And I think it's beyond the point of being constitutional. But as someone who knows people personally right now that are dealing with death from this, and that are dealing with whether or not they're going to be able to go home and give their kids a hug because of what they do for a living, have consideration for your fellow man and practice that Christian witness in the way in which you deal with this. All right, so tomorrow, one of the things I want to get into, because I ran out of time today, is how parents, you don't need to be freaking out if your kids are not doing busy work for 8 hours. Okay? Take a breath. Give your kids some free time, because kids don't have enough free time, frankly. And there's been studies on this. We've actually talked about them on the show. I know we got to get going. But we'll be talking more about this tomorrow. And don't forget, tomorrow and Friday, we're going to have open phone lines. So you can join the show.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
You got to walk that fine line between civil liberties and rights. I don't like the government shutting down stuff at all. I look at it as an attack on assembly. But you got to use common sense and be a good steward and think of the health of your flock as well. And be compassionate. Have grace for each other. We ran out of time because I couldn't shut up on today's stupidity. But tomorrow and Friday, we're going to have open lines. So I'll send out an email about that later tonight. Make sure you check DanaLash.com as well. Be nice to each other. Stay healthy. I'll be back with you tomorrow.
It's The Dana Show.